in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezekiel. Now we come to Ezekiel chapter 10. Now, Ezekiel chapter 10 is one in a set of chapters in the book of Ezekiel, starting at chapter 8 and ending at chapter 11. Ezekiel 8 through 11 is the record of one long vision. In the beginning of the vision, Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. And by the end of the vision, chapters 10 and 11, this glory will depart. Now, Ezekiel chapter 8 showed us the very first part of the vision. And in the spirit, Ezekiel was taken to the temple in Jerusalem. And he saw things that showed the spiritual corruption of Judah, Jerusalem, and the priestly service at the temple. He saw abominations at the temple, which included an outrageous idol standing outside the temple. He saw images and articles of worship associated with the city leaders inside the temple, with the corruption and abominations on the inside. He saw weeping over the pagan idol Tammuz associated with the women at the temple and immorality there. And he even saw the priests worshiping the sun there at the temple of the Lord. So chapter 8 was filled with these evidences of the great idolatry and abomination, the sinfulness of Jerusalem and Judah. Again, that Ezekiel saw in this vision. He didn't see this as with his material or physical eye. He saw it very plainly, very clearly in this spiritual vision that he had. Now, in chapter 9, we saw that God responded to the abominations at the temple by sending out angels to judge Jerusalem and Judah. And before the judgment, God sent a special angel to mark his faithful remnant so that they would be preserved in judgment. And also in chapter 8, chapter 9, Ezekiel's vision saw the glory of God begin to move. That is, from its place among the cherubim in the most holy place of the temple to the threshold or doorway of the temple. You see, the idea back in Ezekiel chapter 9 was that the glory of God was getting ready to leave the temple building. And that's going to continue the thought now into chapter 10 that we're going to take a look at today, and chapter 11, which we'll take a look at in our next study. So here, verses 1 and 2 of Ezekiel chapter 10. Again, this is this vision that Ezekiel saw while he was God's prophet in exile in Babylon, but God gave him a vision of what was happening, spiritually speaking, at the temple. Verses 1 and 2. And I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance and likeness of a throne. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, "Go in among the wheels under the cherub, fill your hands with the coals of fire from among the cherubim, and scatter them over the city." And he went in as I watched. So again, Ezekiel chapters 8 through 11 is this extended description of the prophet's vision of corruption and judgment at the temple in Jerusalem. And another important part of this vision is the glory of God. It's described in the same terms as what Ezekiel saw in the vision of his calling in the first three chapters of the book of Ezekiel. Here, we see a description of, verse 1 says, a firmament that was above the head of the cherubim. Now, from the association with other passages, we understand that the living creatures described in Ezekiel chapter 1 were cherubim. But it's interesting, they were not given that specific name in Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, at the temple, they're more properly titled cherubim. That's the plural of a cherub. One is a cherub. Cherubim is a plural number. Because they were artistic depictions of cherubim all over the temple, including large statues set up by Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 23. And in his vision, Ezekiel saw these cherubim. Daniel Block put it like this: these cherubim are the living heavenly realities that the static sculptures in the inner sanctum symbolize. They have come to earth from the heavenly throne room to transport the kabod, the glory, the visible sign of God's presence, out of his earthly dwelling place. So, as with the vision in Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel saw something above the cherubim surrounding God's throne, something like sky or space. Again, these cherubim are the mighty angels associated with God's presence and throne. And what did he see above there? Verse 1 tells us that he saw the likeness of a throne. Now, Ezekiel describes the throne just as he did in chapter 1, verse 26. But here he did not mention the appearance of a man above it. Yet the person on the throne is implied here, because verse 2, it says that he spoke to the man clothed with linen. So Ezekiel doesn't mention any appearance of a person on a throne, but that's implied because there's somebody speaking from the throne. And what did he tell the angel to do? Verse 2, fill your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim. This was the command directed to the man clothed with linen. This was the one who marked the few faithful ones in Jerusalem in Ezekiel chapter 9. God commanded this angel to take the burning coals and to scatter them over the city. Now, previously, we were warned in the book of Ezekiel that Jerusalem would be judged by siege, by slaughter, by famine, by disease. Now we learn that Jerusalem will also be burnt, and the fire would come from the throne and the glory of God itself, from the coals of fire that come from among the cherubim. You know, in one sense, these scattered coals of fire were a prophecy of the fire that would destroy Jerusalem in the last of the three Babylonian invasions. The final destruction of Jerusalem happened in 586 BC, just a few years after this prophecy. And this judgment by fire was reminiscent of God's judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here we have coals of fire being cast from heaven, and that's a similar thing that happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse 2 says that Ezekiel said, he went in as I watched. The angel quickly obeyed the Lord. He did what God asked him to do. And we'll see how it continues here. Starting at verse 3, I'm going to read verses 3, 4, and 5. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard even in the inner court, like the voice of the Almighty God when he speaks. So the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple. This was the opposite side from where the angels of judgment started their work. The cherubim are on the south side, but it says there in verse 3 that the cloud filled the inner court. Now again, this was the cloud of glory, seen often in the Old and in the New Testaments, sometimes called the cloud of Shekinah glory. It is hard to define the glory of God. We could call it the radiant outshining of his character and presence. And here it's given some visible representation in the cloud that stood by Israel in the wilderness, the cloud of glory from which God spoke to Israel, the cloud from which God met with Moses, the cloud that stood by the door of the tabernacle. It's the cloud from which God appeared to the high priest in the holy place inside the veil. It's the cloud that so filled the temple when Solomon dedicated that the priest could not continue to serve. It's the cloud of Ezekiel's vision filling the temple of God with the brightness of his glory. It's the cloud of glory that overshadowed Mary when she conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the cloud present at the transfiguration of Jesus. It's the cloud of glory that received Jesus into heaven at the ascension. And it's the cloud that will display the glory of Jesus Christ when he returns in triumph to the earth. Now, Ezekiel saw this in a vision. And what he saw, there's a strange tragedy. You see, apparently in the vision that Ezekiel had, he saw many people at the temple, but he only saw the glory of God. In other words, he only saw the glory of God. They couldn't see it because of their sin, because of their compromise, because of the abominations that they had run after. They could not see the glory of God. And what Ezekiel saw is described in verse 4, that the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple. In Ezekiel's vision, the glory of the Lord shined brightly, and the cloud of his glory filled the temple, yet it was on the move. And it was, as described here, pausing over the threshold that was about to leave the temple. Matthew Poole said of this phrase that it paused over the threshold. He said this, quote, showing both his unwillingness to leave and giving them time to bethink themselves and return by repentance. And he stands where he might be seen by both priests and people, that both might be moved to repentance. And as all this was happening, as that glory of God was pausing over the threshold, as if it was reluctant to leave, Ezekiel also notes in verse 5, the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard. You see, as this visible representation of God's glory was moving, the wings of the cherubim were active and noisy with a sound as loud and as striking as the voice of Almighty God when he speaks. This means that they were ready, that they were eager to move. Here's what else Ezekiel saw, verses 6, 7, and 8. Then it happened, when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood beside the wheels. And the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. Again, we see the emphasis that the fire of judgment that was going to come upon Jerusalem came from the throne and glory of God itself. It came from among the wheels, from among the cherubim, as verse 6. Friends, that's where the fire of judgment came from. It came from God himself, not from the Babylonians. You know, it would be easy for the people of Judah to blame the Babylonians. What's the Babylonians' fault that we're judged? No. This was the judgment of God, and the Babylonians were the instrument of God's judgment, but God himself was the cause of it. And so, verse 6 says that he went in, stood beside the wheels. Verse 7 says that the cherub stretched out his hand. It's interesting. The man clothed in linen did not take the fire directly, but he received it from a cherub. Ezekiel explained that the cherub was able to do this because he, verse 8, appeared to have the form of a man's hand under his wings. Now remember, Ezekiel saw all this in a vision. He didn't see it with his material eye, but with the eye of the Spirit in a waking dream, so to speak. And what he did with that fire was, verse 7 says, he put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen. Now, this angel, sometimes described as men in the Bible, could fulfill the command to scatter the coals of fire over the city, as was commanded by the Lord in verse 2 of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 10. Now let's pick it up at verse 9, where Ezekiel's going to begin to describe the appearance of the cherubim and the apparatus, the chariot, so to speak, that they are associated with. Starting now at verse 9. And when I looked, there were four wheels by the cherubim. One wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by each other cherub. The wheels appeared to have the color of a beryl stone. As for their appearance, all four looked alike, as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of their four directions. They did not turn aside when they went, but followed in the direction the head was facing. And they did not turn aside when they went. And their whole body, with their back, their hands, their wings, and their wheels, and the forehead were full of eyes all around. And as for the wheels, they were called in my hearing, wheel. So this harkens back to the vision that Ezekiel had in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. There he described these wheels in some detail. The general impression is of constant activity and motion and free movement with no chaos or disorder. That's sort of typified in the words in verse 11. They did not turn aside when they went, but followed in the direction the head was facing. You see, if the wheels and the cherubim represent God's chariot, or some people say his chariot throne, then it's clear that Ezekiel was to understand that it was on the move. It was in Babylon. Now, in the vision, it was in Jerusalem at the temple. Because in Ezekiel's vision in chapter 1, he sees that chariot throne in Babylon. Now he sees it in Jerusalem. Now, the wheels here are described in verse 9 as the color of a beryl stone. The mineral beryl can come in many different colors, but one of the more notable and precious color is an emerald green. And this may mean that the wheels and their workings gave off a green color. And he describes these wheels and the apparatus here and the cherubim that are associated with them. Verse 12, their whole body with their back, their hands, their wings, and their wheels that are forehead were full of eyes all around. Now, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 18, described eyes in connection with the wheels. Here we learn that the cherubim themselves are, as verse 12 describes, full of eyes all around. This matches the later description of cherubim found in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. I like what Daniel Block says about this, and this should be a mention. People who try to recreate the scenes here in Ezekiel chapter 10 or chapter 1 with artistic depictions or AI depictions. Daniel Block said this, "The image seems bizarre to the modern reader, but one must remember that this is a visionary experience, and surrealistic features may overwhelm realism." It's true. This is a surreal vision that Ezekiel is having, but the multiplicity of eyes indicates great intelligence and awareness. Continuing on now, starting at verse 14, we're going to see a description of the faces and the movement of the cherubim. Verse 14, each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face, the face of a man, the third, the face of a lion, and the fourth, the face of an eagle. And the cherubim were lifted up. This was the living creature I saw by the river Kebar. When the cherubim went, the wheels went beside them. And when the cherubim lifted their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also did not turn from beside them. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels stood still. And when one was lifted up, the other lifted itself up. For the spirit of the living creatures was in them. Now, what we have here is almost the same description of the cherubim found in Ezekiel chapter 1, where it says in verse 14, here in Ezekiel 10, each one had four faces. Here, Ezekiel doesn't describe four faces on each cherub, just the one face turned towards him. And there's another difference here. It's in the previous passage, the faces were described as a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Here they're listed as a cherub, a man, a lion, and an eagle. For some reason, Ezekiel chose to use the word cherub to describe the face that in chapter 1 was associated with the ox. Why? Well, some people explain this by saying that since these beings are cherubim, and each face is actually the face of a cherub, there's just simply some unknown reason why the substitute word was used. In other words, what he saw was the same thing he saw in chapter 1, but for some reason he says, well, the face of an ox is the face of a cherub, so that's how I'm going to describe it. Some people describe this by saying that the face of a cherub is something like the face of an ox. And then there's other people who explain this by saying that this was the error of a scribe who copied the text, that originally Ezekiel wrote that it was the face of an ox, but there was an error in copying and it was the face of a cherubim. I don't know. You can pick between your things. It doesn't really matter. But notice here, he says here in verse 15 that this was the living creature I saw by the river Kebar. It's a direct reference to the vision of Ezekiel. He's saying these are the same creatures. And the dynamics of the movement of the chariot throne were the same. That's why he says in verse 16, the same wheels also did not turn. This is the same description of the wheels and their association with the cherubim that's described in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 17, and in verses 20 and 21. Again, the idea is simply this. The cherubim and the wheels are perfectly coordinated in their motions together. They're so closely connected that Ezekiel could write that of the wheels, verse 17, the spirit of the living creatures was in them. Everything's moving in perfect harmony without any chaos at all. Now, verses 18 and 19. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. Now, earlier in Ezekiel chapter 10, the glory of the Lord was described as moving to the threshold of the temple. Here, it continued to move, and it even, as verse 18 says, it departed from the threshold of the temple. It was on its way out, accompanied by the cherubim, because it says in verse 19, the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth. You see, the cherubim were something like the guardians or attendants to this visible representation of the glory of God. And Ezekiel noted in his vision that as the glory moved, so did the cherubim, and it moves to the threshold, then from the threshold, now verse 19, they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. The sense seems to be that the glory of God traveled from the Holy of Holies to the threshold of the temple building, then across the court of the temple, and now, verse 19, it stood at the door of the east gate. It was moving away first from the Holy of Holies, then to the temple door, then now to the edge of the temple courts. It is a striking and shocking thought that the glory of God was about to leave the temple altogether. Yet, please remember this. Ezekiel will also later tell us that the glory of God will come back. This is in Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 2 through 4. God's glory will come back, and it will return through the same east gate where it departed from. This is what it says in Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 4. The glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. Yes, it's departing because of God's judgment, but God promises restoration and it will come back. And in God's restoration, he said that his glory would abide there forever. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 7 says this. It says, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Now, here in chapter 10, it's on its way out. And he says in verse 19, the glory of the God of Israel was above them. Ezekiel phrased this with a bit of irony, or perhaps tragedy. The God of Israel should have his glory rest in Israel. But now, that glory was about to depart. Daniel Block said, the departure of the glory signals the end of a relationship that had existed for almost four centuries. The divine king has abandoned his residence. Now let's continue on, starting at verse 20. This is the living creature I saw under the God of Israel by the river Kebar. And I knew they were cherubim. Each one had four faces, and each one four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man under each of their wings. And the likeness of their faces was the same as the faces which I had seen by the river Kebar, their appearance and their persons. They each went straight forward. Again, Ezekiel connects this vision with what he saw previously in the vision at the river Kebar recorded in Ezekiel chapter 1. And what does it say? That they each went straight forward. Again, they will not be distracted from the purpose that God has for them. God's plan will never be frustrated. Well, we've got one more chapter in this section of chapters, Ezekiel 8 to 11, where he points out the corruptions at the temple and the departure of the glory of God from the temple. So we'll conclude that in our next study, this little section. But before we leave Ezekiel chapter 10, let's consider just a couple ways that this chapter points to Jesus Christ. Number one, this chapter has a lot to say about the cherubim, those amazing beings that surround the throne of God. These same beings are called living creatures in the book of Revelation, and Jesus Christ stands in the midst of these living creatures. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, and the beginning of verse 6. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain." Notice, this lamb was standing, as it says there, in the midst of the four living creatures. Friends, Jesus Christ himself in his own presence is associated with the presence and in the midst of these living creatures, of these cherubim. When we see the cherubim, we can think of Jesus. He is in their presence. Secondly, I would say that Ezekiel chapter 10 points to Jesus Christ in that the cloud of glory that filled the temple and that now was ready to depart from the temple, we saw that here in Ezekiel chapter 10, was most perfectly revealed. That cloud of glory, the glory of God, is most perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ, who's a person, something much greater than a cloud. You think it would be amazing to see the cloud of glory? Friends, it's even more amazing to see what God has accomplished in and through the person of Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate display of the glory of God. John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "And the Word," that is Jesus Christ, "and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Maybe as we read this and you read of Ezekiel's vision, you think, oh man, it would be so cool to see the cloud of God's glory. Friends, I will admit there's something cool in all that, but don't ever forget that God has displayed something much, much greater than a cloud of his glory. He's displayed his glory in the greatest way he ever could for us. That's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we look to you, Lord Jesus, the God of all glory. And as we see here in this vision of Ezekiel, the glory of God ready to depart from the temple, we say, Lord, may we never displease you so that in any measure you would remove our lampstand or put us out from fellowship with you, the God of all glory. We thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for the display of your glory and the promise of your glory in Christ Jesus. May we live pleasing to you because of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.